Good day, and welcome to the ICF International's DOE-EPA Partnership on Energy Star conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to Gina McCarthy, EPA Assistant Administrator for Air Radiation, and Kathy Zoy, DOE Acting Undersecretary of Energy and Assistant Secretary for Energy Efficiency and Renewable Energy. Please go ahead.
Hey, everyone. This is Kathy Zoy with the most ridiculous title I've ever heard. Welcome. Apparently, there are over 200 people on the call, so thank you so much for joining us. I'm sitting here with Gina. I'm also sitting here with a number of colleagues from both EPA and DOE, so there should be no trouble fielding any question that you guys can come up with during the question and answer session. They're giggling. But in any case, we'll spend about an hour, and this is hopefully the beginning of a whole series of stakeholder conference calls and webinars that you'll be participating in the coming months. Thanks for joining us. As you know, Gina and I signed an MOU between EPA and DOE some time ago about how both of our agencies were going to work to improve the Energy Star program, enhance the Energy Star program, and improve coordination between the two agencies because the Obama administration has energy efficiency as such a high priority. The new agreement has laid out different roles and responsibilities, and we've also, as part of that, set up a governing council. This is the infrastructure associated with an MOU to ensure that we've got effective collaboration. And as chairs of the governing council, and in the spirit of our commitment to all of you, we think it's important for us to periodically have these sorts of calls and to field questions through this vehicle, as well as questions that can come into the agencies at any time. Today we want to talk a little bit about the Energy Star program enhancements and the developments that we've laid out in the MOU and how it's all going. As I mentioned, we're here with our technical staff so that we can field anything that's kind of on your minds in that vein. Since our last meetings in November of 2009 and then May 2010, we've been working to strengthen the program in a variety of ways. We've got third-party testing of products to qualify for Energy Star, as you know, enhanced compliance requirements for all products that are subject to the DOE minimum standards, verification testing for all the qualifying products, more timely updates of the Energy Star specifications, and a new recognition strategy for the very, very, very most efficient products in each of the categories that we nominate where there's a good opportunity there. And today we'll give you brief updates in each of these areas as well as the development of our joint 2010 work plan. I think with that in mind, I'll just turn it over to you. Let me just say before I turn it over to Gina, a number of topics on today's agenda will be covered in greater depth during some upcoming webinars. There's an Energy Star Superstar Top Tier webinar on October 19th. There's an information session for manufacturers on third-party certification that will be taking place sometime in mid-November. And then we'd like to carry on with these webinars and test procedures, with the DOE stakeholders to participate, and we will be letting you know via email or on our website when those sorts of webinars on test procedures will be taking place. So with that, I'll turn it over to Gina to take the next part of the agenda.
Thanks, Kathy. And again, thank you all for joining. I will tell you that Energy Star is moving. I'm hoping that you all recognize that we're going to work with you to keep up with us, but it's an exciting opportunity for us to build a collaboration with DOE, and I want to thank Kathy for all of her bringing together both her energy, her enthusiasm, and her experience in helping to move this forward. I thought I'd talk to you a little bit about some of the actions that we've taken to actually strengthen the Energy Star program and some of the work that's going on. I know many of you have expressed concerns that we may be moving too soon, too quickly. We are open to those suggestions and those issues. We'll work through these together, but we're very excited about the direction that Energy Star products program is taking. As many of you know, EPA made a commitment to institute third-party certification across the entire Energy Star product program, and we agreed to do that by the end of this year. And we did that, I think, as you know, to protect the investment that all of us have made in the program to make sure that consumer confidence remains high and that we are actually recognizing the best products that are out there and the products that will meet we're designed to meet and that we will recognize as having the Energy Star label. So we understand that all of this effort is a large undertaking and it's a quick turnaround time. So we need to all work together, and in that interest, we've tried to take some steps that would reduce the burden associated with making this transition. For example, as you know, we've leveraged some of the existing certification schemes that are out there. We've tried to take advantage as best we could of international standards for certification, and we've worked closely with a number of the industry groups who have experience in running these types of energy efficiency certification programs. So we're trying to do everything we can to make this transition easy and not reinvent the wheel where we don't need to, but bring in existing programs where it's possible so we can leverage those as we move forward. We're also doing what we can to make sure that there's a selection of recognized labs and certification bodies that are in place by the end of the year so that you can be sure that you have the opportunity to stay current with the program and there's no lapse in terms of the products that we recognize. So since finalizing the requirements for the accreditation bodies and labs last June, we've already recognized 18 accreditation bodies from 13 countries, and we're in the process of reviewing lab applications across the suite of the Energy Star products. In August, we finalized requirements for those certification bodies. A number of organizations have submitted, or we expect will be submitting applications, including established certification organizations like UL, Intertech, and CSA, as well as other organizations that are willing to tailor existing programs to meet our EPA requirements. So we're very confident that by the end of this week, EPA will start listing our recognized labs as well as the certification bodies on our Energy Star website. So you can be confident that by the end of November, we'll be able to meet the needs of the Energy Star manufacturing partners. And we'll be looking to you to express your intent to continue in the program under the new product qualification terms that we've outlined in your revised partner commitment in each of the product categories. So we're excited that we're moving forward. We think this will maintain the value of the Energy Star label and actually enhance it. We are extremely committed to having the infrastructure in place so that you can feel confident that you can maintain your partner commitments and that we're not asking you to do too much too soon, but asking you to be a full partner with us in this effort. Kathy?
Yeah, one of the things you will have noticed in the MOU is that we built on each organization's relative strength. And since the Department of Energy has statutory responsibility for minimum appliance standards, we have to develop testing protocols and certification procedures associated with the statute. Well, interestingly, and I was surprised to you, about half of the Energy Star products are covered by minimum appliance standards. So it makes good sort of streamlining sense for us to be dovetailing some of the testing stuff with the Energy Star program as well. So with that in mind, I'm going to tell you a little bit about the work that we're doing right now on testing verification and certification requirements generally, because it applies to strengthening the Energy Star program as well as the minimum appliance standards program. So we've got an effort underway to enhance the testing program. In fact, we are currently conducting a rulemaking that has proposed revisions to DOE certification, compliance, and enforcement provisions. This CCE, Certification, Compliance, and Enforcement Rulemaking, is a NOBR that was published in the Federal Register on September 16th. The public meeting was held on September 30th. The comment period closes pretty soon on October 18th, and we expect to issue a final rule on the CCE revisions by the end of the year. We are hoping that if you've had a chance to take a look at it, that you're providing comments through that comment period. Now, the NOPR addresses several things. Certification, we've proposed to expand the types of data that manufacturers are required to submit, brand name, sample size, and other product characteristics such as capacity. We've also proposed to add an annualized certification requirement for all covered products and covered equipment. And we've also proposed to allow manufacturers to submit electronically only through DOE's online compliance and certification management system. We are moving into the modern age, you can see. And we think that all of those things are going to enhance the credibility of energy efficient products in the marketplace writ large, and we think that that's a good thing for all of us who are in this space. On the compliance front, we propose to expand the compliance requirements to additional covered products and covered equipment where DOE does not currently have provisions. So, for example, like for the products where ESAV 2007, that statute that we all love, added federal standards, which include fluorescent lamp, ballast, general service incandescent lamps, candelabra-based incandescent lamps, intermediate-based incandescent lamps. These are all running off the top of my head here. Certain types of commercial refrigeration equipment. So those are the things that we're actually expanding the compliance effort in. The third category, enforcement. And again, one of the things that you will have seen out of the Department of Energy and the Obama administration is a real serious effort to enforce minimum appliance efficiency standards. We proposed in this rulemaking regulations which will provide the department with more flexibility in initiating enforcement actions against a potential non-compliant manufacturer, as well as additional options for obtaining products, off-the-shelf retail markets, for example. We've also proposed new methods for determining non-compliance for low-volume built-to-order products where the maximum sample size for enforcement testing can't be satisfied. And thirdly, we propose clarifications to the adjudication procedures for enforcement of DOE's energy conservation, water conservation, and design standards as they relate to improper certification, failure to test, distribution and commerce after notice of noncompliance determination, knowing misrepresentations, I think a lawyer drafted this sentence, penalties imposing additional certification testing requirements and settlements. Now, why are we proposing all of that? Because, again, If the people in America do not believe that the minimum standards are being enforced, then they will not be interested in buying them. We've heard that from lots and lots of different people. It's also not fair to the manufacturers like many of you who are making investments in creating energy efficient products, whether they're to comply with the statute or to enhance your market share by developing Energy Star products. So we think that this rulemaking is very, very important. We plan to initiate a second rulemaking regarding certification, compliance, and enforcement that will further investigate the definition of a so-called basic model, a DOE verification testing program, how voluntary industry certification programs could fit into this, sampling plans for certification and enforcement testing, imported products, and then finally electric motors. So these are all good things that will be forthcoming. Mike, when do we think the second rulemaking might happen?
Late spring, early summer,
that's from my colleague Mike McCabe. Now, an update on the DOE Energy Star pilot verification and product testing program. As many of you know, the Recovery Act had a very nice program, a $300 million program where states could actually support rebates for Energy Star products called the, never to have a short acronym, the State Energy Efficient Appliance Rebate Program, the ARP. And we have initiated a pilot testing program where we are pulling products from shelves across the most popular types of products that were used in that program. Fridges, freezers, clothes washers, dishwashers, tankless water heaters, storage water heaters, and room air conditioners. And again, the goals here are to ensure that Energy Star products meet the Energy Star program requirements. That's a good thing. Ensure that Energy Star products meet the manufacturer's stated ratings. The pilot testing program has made important progress since last January. We've tested about two-thirds of the products, or 178 of the 266 units. And of those that were tested, four units have failed the testing and have been referred to EPA to be addressed. Again, we think this is all good progress at ensuring that the brand has credibility in the market. We're looking forward with regard to product testing. We plan to test the remainder of the 266 products by the end of this calendar year, by December 2010. And the lessons that we've learned from this pilot program will be used to inform the development of a permanent program in this vein. We'll be expanding the list of products in the next step beyond the pilot program, and that should probably begin in about January. Specifically, what we're looking to add here are heat pump water heaters, furnaces, central air conditioners, and then we'll continue to test the existing list of products that I already mentioned. So overall, what this adds up to is a pretty exciting ambition of ours to test about up to 20% of the Energy Star qualified products each year in a growing number of product categories, including new models entering the market and high volume products. So we're very, very excited about that, the increased number. We're also excited about improving the quality of the testing. We're working to accredit labs, with our colleagues here at EPA, to conduct the tests of the qualified Energy Star products. This complements the EPA's program, and DOE is looking to have laboratories be accredited and audited to DOE-specific lab requirements. and we plan to engage you all and others via conference call or a webinar to solicit comments on this effort with a planned release of the overall program in March, April 2011. And that's, I think, where I will turn it back over to you, Gina.
Thanks, Kathy. Well, the good news is that there's no written test at the end of this call, so everything we say, I think you'll be able to find on the website and be able to discuss with the folks in the program at your leisure. But we have a lot of issues to cover, and we just want to give you a sense that there's action going on and that both Kathy and I are overseeing the management of this program to ensure that it maintains its worth in the market, and we're excited about it. So that's part of our interest in filling you up with all this information. So let me continue in that vein, because what I want to cover next is just talk a little bit about performance requirements and our interest in making sure that those are updated in accordance with the different types of products that Energy Star recognizes. I want to talk to you a little bit about products coming in, products going out, and end by covering some of the top tier proposal that you may have seen that we sent out on September 30th to get people's input on, and to give you a sense of where we think that is heading and your opportunities to provide us more input on the direction you think that should take. So let me start by talking a little bit more about the updating the performance standards, because under the new partnership that Kathy and I are overseeing, we did make a commitment to ensure that Energy Star labels maintain their relevance and their value. And in order to do that, we need to make sure that we update the performance requirements across all of the product categories as both the markets and the technologies advance. And so our specifications for product categories with rapidly evolving product models, and those would include things like TVs and computers, have to be updated, and we believe as frequently as every 2 years. Our specifications for older, more long-lived product categories need to be reviewed, and we believe that that should happen on a 3-year cycle or when the market share reaches about 35%. So we recognize that different product categories have different timelines in terms of how quickly the market changes and the technologies advance. We're going to be recognizing those in moving forward with new performance requirements and specifications more quickly and hopefully on a more routine basis, so that you can understand that if you are making your product more efficient, you'll have an opportunity in the market to make that known through the Energy Star label process. So we're working on right now more than 20 different product specifications, with 7 that are scheduled for completion this year, that being in 2010. Some of the highlights you might have seen proposals were in the second draft of our lighting proposal, and we're working on dishwashers as well. That proposal went out. These are opportunities that we're looking for you in those, particularly those that are in those product categories, to provide us input so that we make sure that we're making those specifications challenging, but that we still have a lot to tout in and to use the Energy Star label to do that. While we're enhancing our qualification and verification testing requirements, and we're updating our existing specifications, we're also continuing to add new products. So we don't want you to think that our effort to continue to strengthen the program it has precluded us from continuing to have some outreach on new products and bring them into the system. This year our emphasis is on growing the wedge in the energy pie, miscellaneous energy. Products such as small network equipment and uninterruptible power supplies. On the commercial side, we're exploring lab-grade fridges, as Kathy would call them, as another possible addition into the program. And finally, as markets are transforming, we're also starting to consider retiring products from the program. For us, it's good news because it means we've achieved the energy savings that we think the product has to offer, and so we can move on and highlight other product lines. This year, we will retire external power supplies, and we've proposed to sunset digital TV adapters. So hopefully we're doing what we do well, and we're continuing to expand and contract as the markets change and the technologies advance. So let me move on to the top tier proposal, which I think all of us agree is something that we need your involvement in and your focus on, if we could ask that. We did have a webinar on October 19th to talk about some of the consumer research that we've been doing on this issue. I'm sorry, we are having one.
We will have.
What is the date? I think it's earlier than that. October 19th is coming up. We will have one to talk about this in more detail. But let me give you a little bit of a preview. DOE and EPA have been working on this. As you probably know, this is a real interest of Secretary Chu's, because he wants to make sure that Energy Star not only recognizes the technologies of today, but we really push the envelope for early adopters to get new technologies into the marketplace as quickly as we possibly can. And we've been seeking feedback, and we'll seek your feedback for a while on a proposed new program element. And that would be to really identify the advanced, highly efficient products that are in the marketplace. These are not pilot products. These are products that are commercially available. And this is an effort that we're going to be working on to ensure that the credibility and the value of the Energy Star label isn't diminished, but we use this to launch opportunities to do more with this successful program. And the proposed approach is this, and the new effort is really an extension of the Energy Star brand, and it's targeted, as I said before, to early adopters. And we want to highlight super efficient products within specific product categories where they exist. And consistent with the purchasing habits and interests of the target audience, EPA and DOE are proposing the following program structure. For targeted product categories where a super efficient product or products exist, the associated performance level would be designated as the threshold for EPA recognition for a fixed period of time. Products qualifying for recognition would be featured among Energy Star qualified products via user-friendly product lists on the Energy Star website. We'd have a tailored outreach and tools that would be deployed to encourage early adopters and others to access these lists. And we'd have specifically designed point of sale or point of purchase materials that would feature wording and messaging that would hopefully draw in these early adopter target audiences. And it would use this to further highlight recognized models in the store and contract to sales literature. So EPA are very mindful that this effort needs to be a useful tool for consumers, for the manufacturers, for energy efficiency program administrators and retailers, among others. And so we've actively been doing research among those groups to identify how we can best design a program and how we can make that program really attractive to all of these different constituencies. Now, the proposal for stakeholder review and comment was sent out on September 30th, so you should have seen it. If you haven't, you can access it on energystar.gov on the partner resources page if you look at the headlines. As I muddled through earlier, we will have a webinar on October 19th, which to me was about 2 weeks ago, to describe the consumer research to date and the focus group's findings. EPA and DOE fully intend to announce this in December, so we really need your interest and your expertise as we move this forward. We think we have a good outline of a program, but we need to make sure that you're comfortable with it, that you recognize that it is an enhancement to the Energy Star label when we do this right. So we're excited about it, and we think that we'll be ready to talk about as a launch in December, so that it's ready to go next year in 2011. Now let me just end, as Kathy began, by thanking you for your patience and allowing us to walk through, I think, a lot of details. I think you can hear from both Kathy and my voice that we're excited to be working together on this and to be moving forward. As you know, one of our commitments was to work together as hopefully a seamless Energy Star program, and I think we're working towards that goal, and I think we're doing better than we ever have. And I think we're both proud of that, and we're hoping you are as well. But we're in the process right now of developing our second joint annual plan that we'll have, that we agreed to develop annually under the MOU as the, basically the managing partners of the program. We'll have that available to you shortly. Just to give you a little preview, there's a lot going on in 2011, as you can tell. But that plan will include the launch of several more Energy Star product specification revisions. If you've been paying attention, we've mentioned that and been able to follow it this closely. Computers and imaging equipment, fridges, room air conditioners, water heaters, commercial kitchen products, such as commercial dishwashers and ice makers. So we're excited about that. In addition, new products we've begun to work on this year we'll be scoping out in that document, and we'll be talking about product categories like projectors, data storage equipment, ranges, toaster ovens, clothes dryers, and security systems. So we're also, as I mentioned, looking forward to the launch of the top tier program come 2011. So there's a lot going on. We think that everything going on is going to be to both of our advantage. It will help us move forward the energy policies and goals of the Obama administration. It will also move forward EPA and the Obama administration's goal on climate and air quality. We're happy that we have a program like this, which we can work with industry and with product manufacturers, commercial retailers, consumers, so that we can have our policies translate into better products for them, products that will save them money and meet such great policy aspirations that we have here at the federal level. So we're excited about it. We'd like to open it up, I think, to questions, and I'll turn it over to the facilitators. Thank you very much, and thanks, Kathy.
Thank you.
The question and answer session will be conducted electronically. If you would like to ask a question, please do so by pressing the star key followed by the digit 1 on your touch-tone telephone. When you hear your line number, please state your name and company before posing your question. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. We will proceed in the order that you signal us, and we'll take as many questions as time permits. Once again, please press star 1 on your touch-tone telephone to ask a question, and when you hear your line number, please state your name and company before posing your question. And we'll go ahead and take our first question from line 1517.
My name is Henry Wong. I'm a member of ITI as well as the Green Grid. Happen to work for Intel as well. This is in regards to the qualification and verification program. I was wondering what has been done or what will be done in order to address mutual data recognition on international programs that are using Energy Star either directly as a program within their region or using them as a basis for their minimum requirements.
This is Gina McCarthy. Thank you, Mr. Wong, for your question. I know it was an issue of great interest to us and to the State Department that we made sure that we not only took care of our domestic program, but took care of this on an international basis, especially given the number of product manufacturers who do business overseas and who rely on Energy Star there as well. I know that I mentioned our taking advantage of international standards for our certification. I'll ask Beth or others to expand on that at this point.
Hi, Henry. It's Catherine Kaplan from EPA. Thanks for your question. Adding to Gina's comments, we are very interested in walking forward with our international partners. And we have been engaging quite actively with our full suite of international partners with some very promising conversations about how we'll work together in a way that facilitates mutual recognition going forward. We do expect that we will do all that we can, as I say, to ensure mutual recognition where it makes sense. We expect that some of our partners will carry on with the program for products sold only in their region of the country in a way that they do business now. for products that are destined for other countries but also destined for the U.S., the expectation is that those products will need to meet the enhanced testing and verification requirements. If those products are destined for America, they'll need to meet our requirements, which actually we think will raise the level of confidence in products and their ability to meet the Energy Star requirements globally. So we think it's a good thing for consumers around the globe.
And we'll move on to our next question from line 2312.
Hello, this is Pam Horner with Osram, Sylvania. And my question has to do with Energy Star buildings. First part is who, meaning which agency and person, is the main contact for this program? And secondly, if you could briefly describe the direction and future of the program.
It's Gina again. This is an area where DOE and EPA are working very closely together. I don't think it should be a surprise to you or anybody on the phone that the president has actually instituted a number of and supported funding for a number of new programs that deal with building efficiency. So I know Kathy or Kathleen may want to talk about some of their retrofit programs that deal with buildings, in particular homes. We also have programs that deal with commercial as well as residential buildings. We're coordinating together. We anticipate that that will continue. So I don't know, Pam, if you have a specific question beyond that, but our goal as a partnership is to continue with those efforts and to expand them in a way that you will have a single point of contact. If you need those names and numbers, I'm sure you can get them on the web page, or we can give them to you directly here. But we have programs that deal with commercial buildings as well as residential, and we also have an industrial program that has recently started up that's working in a number of different industry sectors.
No, I was specifically referring to the program known as Energy Star Buildings.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Jean Lupinacci with the EPA, and I manage the part of Energy Star that deals with commercial buildings. And I guess I'm not sure exactly what your question about the direction of the program was aimed at, but, you know, the general philosophy, the whole building approach with energy management as the key and measuring energy use at the building and awarding the Energy Star at the whole building level. So, but as Gina had mentioned, we've been working very closely with DOE and their commercial buildings program. And so, you know, as we move forward, and we'll have more information in the 2011 work plan that we're working out with more details with some of the program directions.
And we'll move to our next question from line 2524.
It's Bill Lippi with Fife Oil Company. We're an insulation manufacturer. Just wanted to see what the status of the insulation program were, or the updates to that, please. Thank you.
Thanks for the question. Go ahead.
This is Doug Anderson. I'm the project manager for the Energy Star Insulation Program. And we've already had one call regarding insulation back in July, and we're in the process of addressing the comments that we received on that. We'll be having another call coming up in late October, early November. The date has not been set yet, and we'll be addressing insulation as a whole. I think we'll be able to move forward with mass insulation products. However, the radiant barrier products are somewhat still an issue. I've been in contact with the Department of Energy and Oak Ridge National Labs, and also with REMA, Trade Association. And Oak Ridge and REMA are working out technical guidance and energy performance standards for this particular product. So we are moving forward, but it is a slow movement. And at least in terms of radiant barriers, they are highly climate dependent. So we're trying to figure out the right approach in that particular arena.
Thanks for the question.
And we'll go to our next question from line 2522.
Hi, this is Alan Doyle. I'm at the University of California in Davis. And I'm interested in, with respect to appliances, one, what is your partnership with nonprofits that are also evaluating small electronic equipment, such as Consumer Reports and IEEE and the Extended Producer Responsibility Movement? And then also, how are you informing people to use their equipment in a smart way, such as instead of there is no Energy Star clothes dryer because they're just inherently energy intensive, but how are you supporting people to use a clothesline and getting that word out, for example?
Go ahead.
Hi there. This is Catherine Kaplan from the EPA Products Program. Thanks for your question. We are actively working with a wide range of partners across our product categories. For example, we work quite frequently with IEEE and IEC and ECMA and other standard development entities and support work on standards that we think will further energy efficiency. For example, we're actively supporting a couple of standard development efforts now that ensure continuation of a network of connection and when products are sleeping, as well as the energy-efficient Ethernet. So we think these are great partnerships, and we plan to continue them. We also are in communication with Consumers Union, they have some great insights into how we can test products in a way that most closely reflects how consumers use products, which is a direction that's very appealing to us and one that we're moving in. Again, we work with a wide range of product those who are engaged in product efficiency. We are also looking as a program at how we can deliver on other consumer interests. We have a very strong brand, and we're looking to deliver on more of those consumer interests using the brand. One of those interests is there's an interest in reducing toxins and ensuring recyclability of products, ensuring repairability of products. Topics like these are front of mind for us, and we're looking at ways that we can make progress in those avenues through the Energy Star program. I did want to note that we're scoping clothes dryers for inclusion in the Energy Star program this year. We think that there are probably not this year, but the next year there'll be some products available on the market that'll be right for the Energy Star program. So we're quite excited, and we're engaging in nonprofit efforts around the super efficient dryer initiative that we think will help to bring more efficient products to the marketplace. Finally, I wanted to add that there's a whole we have a number of teammates who are not present today, but actively working on consumer education. In fact, this past summer we started work on some focus groups that would help us to understand better what would motivate consumers to change their behaviors. It's been a very hard nut to crack, but we're digging in on some focus groups to try and learn more, and then we will tailor our very active consumer education and outreach around changing consumer behaviors, and we'll message to them in a way that we think will resonate with them.
And we'll take our next question from line 1320.
Hi there. This is Trevor Windy with Advantic Systems. We make liquid desiccant efficient energy efficient air conditioning systems. And one of the things that we wanted to ask about is, since our equipment can't be tested via the normal air conditioning testing protocol, what your plan is for supporting things that are very energy efficient technologies that reduce energy consumption overall but don't necessarily meet the testing protocol, right? Like, it might not show up as a high SEER rating piece of equipment. And we talked a little bit about the waiver program with some of the people there, but it's not clear how you would actually go about doing that and how that particular equipment would be tested and certified.
This is Michael McCabe. with the Department of Energy. Thanks for your questions, Trevor. Simply put, first would be to contact myself. That's Michael McCabe, MCCABE, at DOE.
Okay.
More specifically, we are looking to expand the scope of a number of the coverage for programs so that while we've not specifically looked at just an air conditioning system, that is certainly within the realm of what we can look at. Also, for products that may not be adequately evaluated by the test procedures or not evaluated at all, as you mentioned, the waiver process does exist. And again, the best thing to do would be to contact me, and I work with you and have you talk to the staff who's responsible for that product area. But
okay.
The waiver process is for manufacturers for specific models of equipment, and it's a fairly straightforward. And with the attention that we're given in the partnerships we have with our general counsel's office, we're able to process those waivers much faster than what has been the case before.
Yeah, Trevor, this is Kathy Zoy. Just let me chime in and kind of amplify what Mike is saying. We do not want a new energy efficient technology that is not covered under a current test procedure to get in the way of that energy efficient technology getting into the marketplace and having a big market share. So we are, and then the Secretary is committed to this. We are really, really wanting the test procedures to help with this, not hinder it. And so we're trying to be very, very agile in a number of ways. Looking at new product categories and developing new test procedures where there's a new, you know, where heat pump water heaters are gaining market share, that's going to require a different sort of test procedure. In this case, as you say, we may fall back on a waiver process. But again, if you provide us the data, we will take a fast look at it and we will ensure that that doesn't get in the way of you receiving the eligible Energy Star logo if the performance is efficient. So.
Okay, that's great. Michael, we'll resend you the email we sent a couple of weeks ago. Kathy, we'll copy that. We'll try and get very quickly to the data that you guys need, and we're very happy to provide that for you.
Thank you.
And we'll go to our next question from line 1113.
Hi, my name is John Furman. I'm calling from a prospective certification body. I just had a few questions regarding some of the information in your conditions document that the final draft version. One question I have is, it refers to the CB issuing a product data review procedure to the EPA. I'm not sure if that's something that we do generically or if that's something that we do on a per-project basis, like per product. So I guess that's the first part of my question. Secondly, for the person that was referring to mutual recognition earlier, do you anticipate mutual recognition agreements being facilitated by NIST and Department of Commerce? Or is that something that you all would do?
Hi, this is Kathleen Vogt with the EPA Products Program. I'm in Monahan. It sounds like your CB question, certification body question, is quite detailed, and we would be happy to discuss that with you further. And then you had also had a question about mutual recognition with other countries. You want to take a stab at that, Catherine?
Sure thing. This is Catherine Kaplan. The mutual recognition that was referred to by Henry Wong of Intel is actually specific to international agreements that the EPA has, for example, a bilateral agreement with the European Union on Energy Star. And through those agreements, we have traditionally recognized products that were qualified in the other country because they met the same efficiency requirements. So I think that's a little different than perhaps the question that you've asked about NIST recognition. NIST is not involved in this mutual recognition that we have now with countries with whom we have a partnership.
Okay, thank you.
And we'll take our next question from line 1217.
Hi, my name is Adrian from Global Electric. And my question is regarding LED light bulbs. I know that there's a document currently online for utility funding for, CFL and LED light bulbs. My question is that a lot of LED light bulbs are in the process of being Energy Star approved. None of them yet on the market are Energy Star approved. But I was wondering when the next document for utility plans for 2011 would be coming out.
Hi,
Alex Baker, Lighting Program Manager for the Energy Star Labeling Program. If you could clarify, are you interested in the next generation specifications, or are you looking for a summary of utility programs? I'm not sure I quite understood.
I'm looking more at the summary of the utility plans, how much funding they're planning on giving towards LED light bulbs. The future, there was one, but it was amended in May. So that's why I'm curious when the next one's coming out.
Thanks for the question. We are going to have to check with some colleagues and get back with you to find out when the next update is going to come out. Can we get back with you?
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we'll take our next question from line 1414.
Yes, this is Robert Peterson at Rheem Manufacturing. And you mentioned moving Energy Star into commercial products next year. I was wondering if that includes water heating. And if so, would you be looking at some minimum thermal efficiency level? Do you have any idea what that might be? The rating system differs on commercial heaters than it does on residential, which are rated on EF. That was my question. Thank you.
Hi there, this is Catherine Kaplan from EPA. We've been working on a number of commercial products for a good period of time now. For your info, we have a nice suite of data center-related products that we are building on all the time, as well as a really great suite of commercial food service products. When thinking about where we could go for the commercial food service suite, we have put on our list for scoping the idea of a commercial water heater, recognizing that for commercial food service entities, water heating can be an expensive endeavor. So I encourage you to contact me if you'd like to share some more information about your product and the potential for savings. That's Kaplan, K-A-P-L-A-N, dot Catherine, K-A-T-H-A-R-I-N-E, at EPA.gov.
Following up on what Catherine said, Spike McKay, commercial water heaters are one of the products that the DOE covers with its mandatory program, so that if EPA includes it in the Energy Star program, we'll be working together on the test procedures, because you're absolutely correct, Robert, that the test procedure for commercial water heaters is different than the residential one. And so that's an area where we'll be providing support to EPA to make sure that our requirements are uniform between agencies so that we can support each other in that regard.
We'll take our next question from line 1123.
Yes, this is Rick Mulhauser with Precision Temp. We manufacture gas booster heaters for high-temperature dishwashing equipment in the food service industry. The high-temperature sanitizing has numerous benefits over low-temp chemical systems and can be accomplished either using electric boosters or gas-fired ones such as ours. The two main advantages of gas-fired boosters over electric ones are substantial. And the first is that the booster typically operates at a cost range of about 25% of a comparable electric one, generating a payback on the higher cost of our booster in about 9 to 20 months. And more importantly to the DOE and EPA, the combination of efficiency of gas and our booster when compared to an electric one, both operating in a typical food service operation, is responsible for a reduction of CO2 emissions by a factor of 2.3. In a typical restaurant, this is an annual reduction of CO2 production of about 20 tons. Nationwide, just doing some computations, the question of using an electric booster versus a gas one is easily one of 3 to 4 million tons of excess CO2. Our question is, and it may have partially already been answered by the desiccant air conditioning person, how do we go about obtaining an Energy Star certification for our product and the recognition for its substantial positive effects on the environment? and who do we communicate with on this?
Rick, this is Gina. I know that Catherine just left her her email address, and I just encourage you to email Energy Star. We're excited to know that there are new product lines that we can take a look at, and there are such significant opportunities for both emission reductions as well as savings opportunities. So feel free to send an email along, and we'll take a look at it, and if we feel like we can fit it into our upcoming annual plans, we'll do that. So thanks so much for reminding us that there's so much more good stuff we can do together.
Gina, can I ask you one question?
No. Yes.
Can you repeat Catherine's email address? We did write down it in part, but we woke up too late to realize she might be the one we wanted to talk to.
Oh, go ahead.
Sure. Rick, this is Catherine. It's Kaplan, K-A-P-L-A, Catherine, K,
oops. I'm sorry.
I'll start again, Rick. Kaplan, K-A-P-L-A-N dot Catherine, K-A-P-H-A-R-I-N-E at EPA.gov.
Great. Thank you very much. Look forward to talking with you.
And we'll go to our next question from line 1517.
Hi, this is Henry Wong again, and actually speaking also on behalf of my fellow members of ITI and the Green Grid. One of the questions with regards to computer systems is, given the fact that the technology as well as the testing methods are constantly evolving and the base capability is changing at a fairly feverish pitch, one, how do we facilitate the training of the certification bodies to help with the transition on new technologies? And secondly, how can we incorporate, similar to what was mentioned as a goal for Energy Star, how do we incorporate the changes in usage models, both with commercial products like servers and enterprise environments, along with the consumer products? And how do we factor those in, the changes in usage models, into the evaluation process on what we deem, or what the consumers of these products deem as more efficient, per se?
Hi, this is Catherine Vogt with EPA products team. With regard to your first question on how to facilitate training of CBs, I think it's our goal with all of our specs that we make sure the test procedures are clear on how to test, and that we have labs who are out there who can test. And in the case that these the testing is very difficult to do, we need to make sure there's a way to have fair and impartial testing conducted. So to the extent that we need to engage manufacturers and working with independent labs to make sure independent labs are able to conduct this testing and oversee it, that's, of course, very important for our program. And we will be working very closely with all of our certification bodies to make sure that they can adequately oversee the Energy Star products across all product categories and ensure that they can read the test reports and make sure that these products qualify as Energy Star. So it's a challenge we have across all our products. Some are more complex than others, but we certainly plan to engage on that and probably will put more effort into those products where the testing is more complex.
And Henry, this is Catherine Kaplan, and I'll add on your question about usage models that the test procedures are a real place for us to consider how products are used. And that certainly has come up on a lot of the products that are important to the Green Grid members. So whether a product is a commercial product or a consumer product, we consider that in developing our test procedures. And we often, when developing our requirements, overlay the usage patterns, for example, in a typical electricity consumption limit that we might set for that product category, where we build in agreed upon hours on versus hours in sleep mode, for example. So we're sensitive to the differences in how products are used and the energy performance associated as a result.
The purpose behind...
Henry, if I could just excuse myself, this is your second question, so I want to make sure we're down to time for one last question. So
okay.
I'd like to ask the facilitator if they could just call for the last question. Henry, if you want to contact us, feel free, and we'll continue to engage.
Okay.
Thanks.
And our last question will come from line 1622.
Hi, this is Craig Updike with NEMA, the National Electrical Manufacturers Association. I had a question, and it kind of follows up on another question that was answered earlier. I'd like to ask you, Gina, and you, Kathy, to talk a little bit about the coordination that DOE and EPA might do with other federal agencies that have interests in the Energy Star programs, including the Department of Commerce or GSA. Speak about that generally, but more specifically, what is the status of efforts to coordinate with NIST and its NADLAP program, which accredits a lot of laboratories that do Energy Star qualification and verification testing. Thank you.
Hi, this is Kathleen Bokes with the EPA products. In terms of your specific question, which has to do with NIST and the NADLAP program and working with other government agencies that are associated with testing energy efficiency and working on related issues, we are working very closely with them. So with NADLAP, they've developed a number of test procedures on energy efficiency, especially in the lighting product area, and so we're working closely with them so that we could recognize them as an accreditation body for accrediting laboratories, and they're, of course, associated with the NIST program. And I would imagine that there's other examples that we could come up with of government programs that are working on energy efficiency issues, and I'm sure we would collaborate with them similarly. But our plan right now is working with them closely to recognize them as an accreditation body, and they will be accrediting labs to perform the relevant testing they cover for Energy Star products.
Adding to this, Michael McCabe, within our regulations for some of our products, specifically lighting, we explicitly require that the test laboratory be a NADLAP certified laboratory. We continue those conversations to look as to whether or not that should be expanded to other products. And given that we are looking to update our certification enforcement regs, as Andy said, the second cycle, we're looking at verification testing and a number of criteria standard setting organizations, including NADLAP, as to whether or not either their procedures or their approaches should be incorporated. And also, we are working with EPA, FTC, Customs for the coordination of data gathering efforts for our reporting requirements. And we hope to be able to, with FTC, they're looking to do something very close, very much in partnership with us, and we're having discussions with EPA about that as far as the data and the reporting out of the information that we get to serve the Energy Star program. So there are a variety of conversations that are taking place with multiple agencies. They vary by product, and probably within the next 12 months, hear a lot more about that.
Yeah, and there's one more aspect of all of this, and that is... So this is Kathleen Hogan from the Department of Energy. So there's one more aspect to all of this, which is following on to the President's executive order that he passed last fall, which is encouraging all the agencies to establish aggressive greenhouse gas reduction goals, which are now in place, but then facilitating coordination across all the federal agencies to put things into place by products that are very efficient to help meet their goals, but in particular, having DOE through its FEMP program work with GSA to really bolster what the GSA can do in terms of sort of a buying agency and a spec-setting agency to help serve the federal agencies as they turn around and buy products from all of you.
So that is exactly what Kathy and I would have said, had we been given an opportunity. But we're excited about it. And again, I want to thank everybody for joining the call. Kathy and I have enjoyed outlining to you the things that are going on in the program, giving you a preview of what might happen be coming up in 2011. We, as you can probably tell, we're thoroughly invested in this program being a joint program that is seamless between the two agencies and that help preserve
and strengthen the Energy Star label and the impact it can have both on our programs and policies, but on your bottom line. So we're very excited about it. I would just also mention that we have some other opportunities to engage in all of these issues. Make sure that you follow the webpage. We've mentioned a few of the upcoming webinars and calls. So I just turn it over to Kathy for maybe some closing remarks.
Yeah, let me just echo what Gina said, and also just say thank you to you. This program, you know, initiated nearly two decades ago, was built on the back of a collaborative partnership between business and the federal government. And you know, back in those early days, we never dreamed it would get so big or so preeminent. And it's in large part because industry grabbed the mantle and said, we actually want to push this market for energy efficiency just like you do. So we not only do we rely on your support, we greatly appreciate it at the same time. We're about to enter another new chapter in strengthening the brand even further. We're in the middle of that chapter, and it's just going to go from strength to strength, and it's going to get bigger, it's going to get more serious. And the nifty thing about energy efficiency is that we're not done ever. We can always become more efficient. We can do more for less. And the economy is going to benefit. So again, thank you so much for your engagement, for your support, for your honest and unfettered feedback. We want to continue to get that through any mechanism that you feel like offering it to us. And we take the input very seriously. So thank you so much.
And that does conclude today's conference. We thank you for your participation.